Well, that was the Maccabeats. They are a totally vocal group, and I just thought it was a way to introduce the next story. So, from regular cook-ups on Mondays, a small group of Jewish women in Sydney have become a food force that connects heritage recipes, stories and communities. The Monday Morning Cooking Club, as they're known, have just come out with a new cookbook called It's Always About the Food. Lisa Goldberg, their chief pot stirrer, spoke with Adelaine Ung.
Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Lisa.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, great to have you. And what a great group you have going. I mean, can we start by finding out more about the Monday Morning Cooking Club that's now, I believe, into its 10th year?
Yeah, it's actually our 11th. It's quite an amazing story. It was originally six of us, and we got together to create a cookbook that could sit on any shelf in any bookstore in the world, next to any cookbook in the world. That was our plan. And we wanted to do a few things. We wanted to tell the story of our food-obsessed Jewish community and all the stories within that community. We wanted to focus on preserving recipes from the older generation for us and then keeping our recipes for the future as well. And we wanted to raise money for charity along the way. And I think within all of those goals, the thing that really got us started was the concept of, you know, you go somewhere and someone makes you the best chocolate cake you've ever had and mm-hmm. you want the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
They're the sort of recipes we wanted to collect.
Well, you've done a pretty good job. And I come from a community that hasn't even finished lunch and we're already talking about dinner. It sounds like the Jewish community generally is just as food obsessed.
It really is. And the title of this book, It's Always About the Food, is something that we have been saying probably for 10 years now. Because every time there's a festival or a Friday night dinner, what is everybody talking about? But what they're cooking.
But how did you guys first meet? I mean, were you already friends? Did you put a call out?
A couple of us actually played basketball together. We started playing basketball in our late 30s, early 40s. We actually resumed our basketball playing from school days. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think three of us started sort of reconnecting. Some of us knew each other from schools, and a couple came in just because they were just what we needed. For example, Marilyn heard about us through the charity that we were involved with in the early days, and she literally knocked on our door with a tray of the most delicious toasted sourdough sandwiches with cheese and tomato relish. I can still imagine them, actually, all these years later. And she knocked on the door and said, I'd love to join. I heard what you're doing. And so she joined that way. And I've got to say, we have the most unique relationship, and we call it the sisterhood. And I know some people think that's a bit cliche, but truly it is, because we have a relationship that's, we're friends, but we're not best friends. We don't really see each other on the weekends very much. We are like sisters. We are like married couples.
So you do fight, and you do occasionally throw meringues at each other.
We do. We don't quite throw meringues, but we do roll our eyes a little bit at each other, and we do have really strong debates about, I think the thing we most debate the most is whether a recipe makes it into the book or not. But we always resolve it, and we always have a laugh in the end, and it's just the most brilliant relationship 11 years down the line.
And you've got a strong reason to be together, don't you? I mean, food alone is usually a strong enough factor that binds a lot of groups together, but then you've got all these other things going for you, like your culture, your Jewish heritage, and also the charity element. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because I understand it's not just a singular charity that you support.
Yeah, we like to call the charity thing the icing on the cake. It's not our reason for being or our reason for doing what we do. You know, the reason really is to collect these recipes and stories from our community across the world and share that with everybody. But the charity thing, we started off because we wanted to raise money for a charity that we were all involved with in Sydney. And sort of once we got on that charity treadmill, we just never got off. So we are now a not-for-profit organisation, and 100% of all our profits go to various charities.
So you're a charity fundraising, Jewish storytelling, recipe-sharing powerhouse.
Exactly. I love that. I haven't heard that before.
Such a good tag.
I'm very flattered with that description.
And this is your third book. It's a little bit different from your previous books in that you've kind of built on each book, haven't you? You started collecting recipes locally and then you went nationally and then now you've gone internationally. I mean, you'll have to collect recipes from the moon next.
Exactly. That's our goal. yeah, that's right. So our first book was, you know, close to home. We stayed in Sydney. We found our family recipes, our friends' recipes, our acquaintance recipes, and friends of friends. Many of the recipes in that first book are things that we all grew up with. So it was easy from that perspective, although it wasn't easy because, of course, we had no idea what we were doing, and it took us 5 years to write it. But second book, we went Australia-wide, and that was a bit more challenging because we don't know the community across Australia. So you have to rely again on your contacts and friends to know someone who knows someone in Brisbane or in Adelaide or in Perth. So there's sort of a network. And that was great. And we have recipes from all over the country. And this third book is global. And I've got to say that was a challenge. To reach the community across the world is an almost impossible task. You think about how you ask someone for a recipe. If you have a connection, it's easy. But we had to cold call and just send emails out. And most people don't respond. You know, maybe one in 20 replies, then that person has to want to give you recipes, they have to have the right recipes, and it becomes more difficult as time goes on and the window of possibility becomes tinier and tinier. But it's actually amazing to look at it now, at the collection we've got in that book. It's so interesting and diverse, and we managed to do it, and we're so proud of that.
You must feel a greater sense of accomplishment with this most recent book. But every recipe is connected to a story, would that be right?
Yes, every recipe and every person. So we celebrate and honour about 60 to 65 cooks in each of the books. This one has 65 cooks from around the world, and we tell their story. One lady was born in a concentration camp in Italy, so she spent the first 4 or 5 years of her life in a camp in Italy with her parents, and that's where her life started. And she brings with us the most beautiful cake from the old world. And the interesting thing about this cake she's given us, it's called a flard, and it's this amazing layered cake with poppy seed and walnut and apple and delicious pastry in between, is that she had never made it, but it was in her mother's recipe collection, but she just had it. And she and her friend, and I think they're both in their 70s now, got together because we were doing this project and decided to try it. So for the first time they made it was because of the book, and now it's in the book.
Wow.
And that's just a beautiful reason, I think, you know, for her to actually make a recipe from her heritage.
I'll have to say, some recipes I didn't expect to see in a Jewish cookbook. There's beef and chicken satay, and there was a chicken sambal goreng.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I'm quite curious how that's ended up in, I guess, the recipe collection of a Jewish family.
Well, it's a good question. And I think the thing that maybe a lot of people don't understand about the Jewish community is how diverse it is and how many people have come from all over the world, from Jewish communities in all these different, you might think, random places, and they've ended up keeping on to their Jewish tradition and heritage but still being part of whatever culture they lived in or whatever country they lived in. And so, for example, the chicken sambal goreng comes from a lady who was born in Indonesia. Her father worked, I think, for the oil company, and so all of her siblings were born on different islands in Indonesia because her father just moved from island to island with his mother, you'll be pleased to know. And they're all born in different islands. And she's now lives in Sydney, but she carries her heritage, so she gave us this Indonesian recipe. And so this book is completely diverse in its culture despite being a Jewish cookbook.
Well, apparently you're doing something right because you've got a few celebrity fans who've given their nod of approval. I mean, you've got the likes of Nigella Lawson, Bill Granger, Yota Motulenghi, and even Nicole Kidman. How did you get all that organised?
Each one has a different story. And I think the most, well, they're all sort of nice stories, but I think the most exciting one for me, because it was the earliest, was Nigella Lawson. And we're all very hands-on in this group, so I man the computer and I'd get the orders that come in through our website. And one day in 2011, I see an order that came in from a Nigella Lawson.
And I'm sitting here thinking, that must be spam.
Can you imagine? I thought it was. I thought someone was playing a terrible trick on me. And I was sitting here by myself. It was midnight. Everyone was asleep in the house. And I was like jumping up and down. And I thought, I'll just Google the address and maybe it's someone local. Anyway, and it wasn't. It was actually Charles Saatchi, you know, her now ex-husband. It was his address.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, it is Nigella. I can't believe it. And we couldn't, and I told the girls the next day, and, of course, we couldn't tell anybody because it's a private sale and I can't publicise that Nigella bought the book. But a couple of weeks after that, her assistant contacted me and said that Nigella had seen the book in a store in a Bondi shop window and she was visiting Australia and loved the cover and had ordered it and wants to do a post about it and are we happy for her to share the recipe. And she wrote the most beautiful post about it and we were just blown away. It was just such an amazing, amazing moment for us.
Well, congratulations on the book and going from strength to strength. If there was one recipe in this book that everybody absolutely must try, what would that be?
Oh, that's a real... It's like asking me who my favourite child
is.
It's really impossible.
But if you had to.
But if I had to say, you know, for people that really love cooking and like to spend time in the kitchen, I mean, there are lots of quick and easy recipes in the book, so I don't want to give this as an example that they're complicated, but this one is a unique recipe, and it's called muffuletta, and it is yeast pancakes that are fried in a pan on top of each other. So you fry the first one, and then you flip it, then you put the second raw pancake on top, and then you flip the stack. And you keep going till you have 12 in the stack. So one side fries in butter and one side steams. And when the stack is complete and cooked through, you cover it with butter and honey. And it is the most delicious, soft, doughy, crumpety stack of pancakes you've ever had.
I'm salivating as I'm listening to you, but I hope there's a YouTube video, instructional video for that.
You know what? There will be, I think. Or at least of us eating it, because that's the best part.
And your website is mondaymorningcookingclub.com.au?
That's right.
Okay, so fantastic to speak with you, and all the best. You're doing
Thank
such a good
Thank you so
work.
Much. Thanks for having me on.
That was Adelaide Ng speaking there with Lisa Goldberg of the Monday Morning Cooking Club.